This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Here are two words destined to spark lots of conversation: race and sports. A two-day virtual symposium this weekend that the UMKC School of Law and Athletics is sponsoring is focused on a series of issues connected to those two words. Among them, the hiring of coaches of color and the connection between name, image, and likeness deals and race. Now a preview of this event with two of its participants. They are Meg Gibson. She's UMKC's head team physician. Meg, good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Bridget Jones is also with us. She's an associate professor of pediatrics at UMKC and a physician at Children's Mercy Hospital. Dr. Jones, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, Meg, you're the head team physician at UMKC, as I just said. Why do you think it's important to have a diverse staff at your school or any school for that matter?
Well, I think there's a lot of benefits of having a diverse staff. One of the things I will be speaking on later today is the intersection of race, gender, and how that affects the mental health of professional and collegiate athletes. And when we're focused on mental health issues, which have become a growing issue in our student athlete population, I think having diversity in the coaches and the staff and the healthcare professionals really helps students feel more willing to share, have some similar cultural backgrounds that, you know, may have a better understanding of where they're coming from to understand some of the stressors and things that can cause a lot of depression, anxiety, and pressure on these college athletes.
How are we coming when it comes to diversifying our coaching ranks across the country?
So I think that there's definitely been a big push in this area, and I think that we have seen that we have a lot of diversity in some of our collegiate sports. And so I know, especially at University of Missouri, Kansas City, there's been a big push to get, you know, we're seeing those athletes with that diversity, and now we're seeing more of the coaching and other staff also having some of that diversity.
You know, Dr. Jones, it's not too far afield here, I think, in this conversation to suggest that there may be a lack of representation in the medical industry as well. To what extent is that the case? What do you see out there?
Yes, it definitely is the case. You know, there's a lack of representation, particularly of people who identify as Black and Hispanic within the medical institution, if you will. And that has direct impacts on health outcomes for patients. So we know that when health teams are diverse, when there is some alignment between race or ethnicity of the patient and the healthcare provider, that there's improved health outcomes. And we also know that things like health disparities are more often studied and researched by people that come from those same communities that experience those disparities. So all of those factors culminate to lead to, you know, frankly, inadequate health care for particular communities in our society, particularly communities that identify as Black, Hispanic, Native American, and some Asian populations.
So just as Meg was suggesting, when it comes to the coaching ranks, Dr. Jones, you're saying that there's a concern that, you know, athletes would benefit from having someone who looks like them to talk to as they try to bounce back from an injury, for example.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, as was previously mentioned, it's important to have someone that can understand, you know, your life from a holistic perspective. So, you know, not just being able to order or interpret a medical test, but being able to understand some of those social and psychosocial and environmental factors that people experience from marginalized backgrounds. I think being able to treat a patient in a holistic manner, you have to somewhat understand where they're coming from. So having health teams that are diverse will allow that to happen and ultimately improved health outcomes overall.
So, Dr. Jones, how much progress are you seeing in the doctor ranks in terms of people of different colors coming onto the scene, going into that profession?
Yeah, I will say that, you know, from my perspective as a Black woman physician, it's not happening fast enough. But, you know, I think especially over the last 2 to 3 years, there's been much, much more conversation about this need. I think part of it is from what we've seen with COVID-19 and the disproportionate impact on Black and Brown communities, and thinking about what are the reasons that's happening has led to most in the medical community to think about what the workforce looks like. So there are now more serious conversations, more specific, actionable things going on to address this gap. But, you know, we still have, a disproportionate number of Black physicians and other healthcare providers and Hispanic and other types of healthcare providers in relationship to our general patient population, and especially for those who have the most significant morbidity and mortality from various diseases and conditions.
You know, Doctor, what's one thing that needs to happen out there to close this gap that you're referring to in terms of the low number of doctors of color who are working today?
I don't think there's one thing that needs to be done. I think that it's a multitude of things that need to be done, from a general societal level all the way up to, you know, a specific institution or hospital or medical provider. Things like pathway programs, making sure that the younger generations that are coming along can have a pathway into medicine, making sure that funding for education is equitable so that children across all races and ethnicities have access
sure.
to opportunity to attend medical school, all the way to looking at your actual hiring practices themselves and how certain people may be disenfranchised from getting certain jobs in certain environments.
You know, Meg, how much does all this resonate with you, this lack of doctors of color out there? Again, because you're UMKC's head team physician, I imagine you see the same issues.
Oh, definitely. And I would say it's not only the physicians where we need to see some increase in, you know, diversity and gender equity. Also with our other healthcare professionals, like our mental health professionals that we have providing care, as a team physician, I can refer someone, to a mental health professional. But if that mental health professional doesn't really connect with the athlete, then that can be challenging for them to develop a relationship and move forward and help, you know, treat that athlete. I'd also say another issue I see in our athletes is some concern sometimes about sexual orientation. And that's something that we're not necessarily discussing today, but has definitely been a challenge among sports and something that we also need to consider when we're talking to our athletes and trying to help treat them.
We need to consider in what way? What needs to happen to help those athletes, Meg?
Well, I think we need to be more open. And unfortunately, sometimes in our team communities, there can be bullying and hazing and derogatory remarks can be made in many ways. And I think that that's just another way that we're seeing that. And those are things that add to the pressure for our athletes. And when we need to make sure that they feel like they're in a safe environment from a mental health standpoint, that means, you know, a variety of different things so that they feel like they're willing to, you know, share their concerns to, you know, really as a team physician, if we don't treat their mental health, then they won't be able to perform their best on the field, which is really the goal.
I was going to say,
that we're looking for at the university.
You've mentioned mental health a couple times here. How much has the focus on an athlete's mental health changed over the years? Because I'm guessing that 20 years ago, head team physicians weren't all that concerned about mental health. But here you are talking about it openly today.
Yeah, and I think it depends a little bit on your training. You know, my initial training was as a family medicine physician before I became a sports medicine physician. So in family medicine, we definitely focus a lot on the mental health of our patients. However, there has really been in sports, I'm going to tough it out attitude. And if you maybe admit to having a mental health need, that can sometimes be, you know, considered a weakness. Those athletes sometimes feel that the coaches think that athletes with mental health issues are less capable. So, you know, there has over the last, you know, probably about 15 years really been an increase in the discussion, in the support for, you know, supporting the mental health needs of our student athletes. And unfortunately, as we had actually already heard previously, that COVID really, you know, even increased these needs for our young populations.
You know, Meg, one focus of this weekend's symposium that UMKC is putting on is on cultural issues in diagnosing and treating patients who are experiencing mental health. Explain that to me. What are some of the issues on that front that you see out there?
Well, so I think the larger cultural issues are kind of how did this individual grow up? Like, were mental health issues discussed? Were mental health issues kind of pushed to the side and not considered to be, you know, a true medical illness or a medical disorder or something that we could treat? And I think a lot of that comes kind of from the environment that individuals were brought up in. And that's where having coaches and having staff and having healthcare providers across the board that, you know, have a more diverse cultural background can probably really help, you know, these individuals maybe understand, as we were saying, like, what did they grow up with? What's their background? Where did they come from? You know, maybe why are they not want to talk about, you know, these concerns with us today?
But that suggests you're spending a lot of time with these athletes and really sitting them down and talking to them about what they're up against.
Well, that's true. I mean, and honestly, I have had a lot of athletes, and over the last few years, it has really increased. I mean, I have spent hours among hours dealing with mental health issues for our athletes. Honestly, sometimes I've spent more time dealing with their mental health issues than I've been dealing with their physical issues.
No kidding.
Oh, for sure. And the other thing that, you know, when we talk about coaches, you know, these athletes look up to these coaches, and really I feel like they put these coaches on a pedestal, and everything the athletes do is they want to do to please their coach, and they want to perform for their coach. And the athletes and these coaches usually have a really, you know, hopefully strong relationship and are able to talk about things. So I think the more that coaches can help decrease the stigma associated with mental health diagnoses, the more it will help, you know, these athletes really open up to them.
Are you seeing coaches walk that walk now more often than you used to?
Yes, we definitely. I've been very happy, you know, at the University of Missouri, Kansas City in the last few years that we have had coaches who have actually gone above and beyond to help address the mental health needs of their athletes. And I think that there is just more knowledge that, you know, if we do not have their mental health treated the way that they need to, they're not going to be able to perform on the field or on the court at their highest level.
You know, Bridget, we were talking about the lack of doctors of color that affects so many people these days. I noticed that you launched something called the Faculty and Trainee Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee back in 2017 because of just what we're talking about here, this lack of representation in your field. What was the main goal of that program?
Yeah, so the main goal of that, it was actually a committee that was started at Children's Mercy, was to start to identify some actionable things that we could do to increase the numbers of Black and Brown and other underrepresented groups within the physician and faculty group here at Children's Mercy. And so, you know, again, not just talking about the problem, but being very intentional and putting action in place in addressing this issue that we have.
How much success have you had in changing the recruiting numbers?
Yeah, so, you know, within the first couple of years of starting this committee, we made pretty significant strides, especially in increasing the number of Black and Brown physicians in our trainee programs here at Children's Mercy. So we train residents and fellows here at Children's Mercy. And so that's our pathway to the next generation of physicians. So by implementing certain initiatives, like making sure that when people came to interview, they were able to interview with a physician that looked like them, making sure that they were able to communicate with other trainees that looked like them to see if this was a place that they wanted to come. Those things were put into place and significantly increased the number of trainees that we have from Black and Brown communities. And so the hope is, you know, some of those physicians will decide to stay here in the Kansas City area and practice here and add to the diversity of our healthcare workforce here in Kansas City.
I should point out that the UMKC Symposium on the Arc of Race in Professional and Collegiate Sports, it'll take place this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. There are hours on the website. To register, go to sportslawsymposium.org. You can get more information about this symposium, sportslawsymposium.org. You know, Meg, I'm wondering how open your profession is these days to discussing some of the issues that are going to be coming up at this weekend symposium. Do you talk to the athletes about the structures or the systems that are in place and what's available inside an organization to improve diversity going forward?
So we do talk to our athletes about those things. I mean, as far as, again, focusing on kind of the mental health needs of this group, we do a lot of screening when the athletes kind of come onto campus to help address these issues. And then, you know, once we start asking these questions, I think they feel more open about talking to us about them. And so that's kind of what we're encouraging across the board. And I know the academic support and the student groups and athletics have really tried to do that also. So I think the more groups and the more ways that we can address that, you know, maybe the first time it doesn't resonate with a student, but as they start hopefully hearing things like that, you know, from different entities in the athletics department, I hope that they really do feel that they are supported.
Meg, how does it hit athletes of color when they read about the low representation of coaches of color in the NFL or even the NBA? I mean, the latest stats I've seen in the NBA, which has a reputation for being more diverse, 73% of the players are Black. There are 30 teams, only 8 Black head coaches. How does that affect an athlete? How does it hit an athlete when those numbers come to the fore?
Well, you know, again, my experience has just been talking to collegiate athletes more, you know, about some of, you know, their experiences and their concerns. And I think that, you know, again, we're seeing a lot of athletes who perform at a very high level with different racial and ethnic diversities. But unfortunately, we're not seeing that, you know, in, like you said, in the coaching staff, in the ownership, and how do we get there? And I think that, you know, as we're talking about before, it's probably not one thing that has to be done, but we have to find ways to help these athletes who have been very successful, you know, at their sports, I think, or maybe moderately successful, so they want to continue with them, but maybe not at the high level. How do we get them into coaching? How do we, you know, encourage them to stay involved in their organizations and in their sports, with the hopes that, you know, someday then they'll see more coaches like them on the field. One thing that this has been brought up, I'm pretty involved with the NWSL, which is the National Women's Soccer League. And that has been a concern because there are very few female coaches. And, you know, we have professional women's sports, but we don't have necessarily coaches that look like our athletes either. Hmm. So what can we do to kind of encourage that diversity?
You know, Meg, another topic that's coming up this weekend is the extent to which that race and gender affect which student athletes can wind up profiting from these new laws governing name, image and likeness. What have you seen along that front?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion, obviously, about the NIL laws and how that's going to affect performance, how that's going to affect players, how that's going to affect teammates. You know, I think that we'll probably see more male athletes making money off of that than we will see female athletes, for sure. You know, I would hope that since we have more, like when we look at football and basketball and our larger kind of, you know, on the national level, kind of revenue producing sports where there is more racial diversity, I would hope that we would see more racial diversity there, and people of Black or color, you know, benefiting from those. I think that's something, you know, that it's hard to say right now, but we'll definitely see how things move forward in the next few years. Hmm.
That's the voice of Meg Gibson. She's UMKC's head team physician. We were also joined by Dr. Bridget Jones, an associate professor of pediatrics at UMKC and a doctor over at Children's Mercy. Again, the UMKC Symposium, The Arc of Race in Professional and Collegiate Sports, takes place this weekend. For more information, go to sportslawsymposium.org. Thank you both for a good conversation, and have fun this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.